Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, daspitlaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Did you see this? Stephen A. Smith has a basketball camp. Do you want to send your kids to it?
Kenny Smith or Stephen A. Smith?
Stephen A.
No, why would I want to send my kids to a Stephen A. Smith basketball
camp? Well, I think you might not want to do it anyway because it's $2,899 to send them to camp, to Stephen A. camp.
Is he going to have me beat up for what I'm about to say about that being too expensive?
That happened in this city, okay?
I know.
Do not say it.
I know.
Do not.
I've learned my lesson just hearing about the Harden versus Moses Malone Jr. I'll just say this. That seems a little high, but it's obviously worth every penny.
It seems like a bit much.
I don't need New York goon squad from New York, NYC coming down and trying to beat me up at a strip club.
I would imagine.
They wouldn't beat me up at a strip club. They'd beat me up at like a place where I get some banh mi. Like, oh no, I got jumped at Roostars.
Yeah. Because that's where you are.
Yeah.
You're not at a club.
Like, I wasn't at that strip club off of Richmond where Moses Malone Jr. got beat up.
I might have got beat up at Clay last night.
Yeah, you could have, but they may catch me slipping at, like, Oh My Gogi, where I'm having Gogi tacos. Like, we caught Lance slipping. Where? Did you see where Tekashi 6ix9ine, who snitched on everybody, got beat up at an LA Fitness? You see those videos?
No.
I know RJ did. Everyone saw it. He's accused of snitching on people when he went to jail for a while, and he snitched on other people. So they caught him in a LA Fitness and guys.
He's the guy with all the tats.
Yeah. Tats and different colored hair and stuff like that.
What did he do? I forget.
He's a rapper. No, he's a rapper, and I can't remember what he was going to prison for. What was he going to prison for?
Didn't he shoot somebody here
in Houston? No. You're talking about when Takeoff got shot and killed here from Migos, but. Anyway, if they catch me slipping.
My rapper game is off a little today.
Yeah. But catch me slipping, it might be at Weezy Sushi.
Yeah.
You know, it might be at Abdallah's. Like, I don't feel like anyone's.
It could be at Lachane's.
Yeah, it could be at Riel. Yeah. But I don't think anyone's going to catch me slipping at one of my early lunch. Like, I can go to Abdallah's off of Hillcroft and
catch you slipping means you were caught unawares.
Catch me slipping at Fadi's getting falafel.
Mm-hmm. No.
We caught that boy slipping. He was having falafel and. Beet salad and some baba ganoush.
Wait, caught that boy slipping? That means like you were unaware or you were unprotected.
You weren't ready for it.
You weren't ready.
Yeah, exactly.
Caught that boy slipping.
Caught that boy slipping trying to get those.
Yeah.
Trying to get that banh mi sandwich with extra grilled pork.
Why do you order extra grilled pork?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, it's worth it. Okay. On the banh mi over there at Roostars. But anyway, that's why I just want to make sure that we're clear here. Stephen A. Smith's basketball camp is apparently well-priced, and it's reasonably priced.
I would imagine Stephen A. can get some NBA players to it. Right. He's in tight with the players.
Do you think NBA players are looking to pay money? Knowing what you know about pro athletes.
No. They come there and he pays them to be at his camp so that the kids pay more.
Oh, the players, not the players' kids or anything. Oh,
no,
okay.
The players come.
You're right about that. Yeah. You almost have to, right?
Yeah, no.
Is anyone going to watch Stephen A. Smith?
And what's Stephen A. Smith going to tell me about basketball?
Oh, easy.
Well,
do you want to get caught slipping at? You could get caught slipping at Highland Park on that zoysia. Do you want to get beat down on your zoysia green, your laser zoysia?
What are you talking about?
You're talking about who would go to Stephen A. Smith's camp.
No.
Do you
want to
get caught slipping?
That. I said I wouldn't want. Stephen A.'s not teaching me a crossover. He's not.
Did he play college basketball? Yes.
Did he?
He averaged 1.5 a game, but yes, he played.
Listen, I can score.
Be careful! Be careful!
I can score 1.5 without Stephen A. and his $2,899 camp.
You're going to get caught slipping at Prime. You're going to get caught slipping at East River 9. You want to get caught slipping at Luling's when you get off of when you get off of Lent and you're drinking over at Luling's or at Yanni's.
I do not want to get caught slipping anywhere.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, at Luling's, Yanni's.
I don't want to see you get caught slipping.
East River 9.
Okay.
Pine Forest, Highland Pines, none of them.
I don't want to see you get caught slipping. Now, to be fair, I don't think they're going way out to
Wildcat. They can probably catch me slipping
at
Wildcat.
You catch slipping in there. But
especially after Lent's over.
They can't catch you slipping way out in the Woodlands. That's too far. Past the Woodlands.
Well, yeah.
Where's Carlton Woods?
Carlton Woods is the Woodlands.
Can you get caught slipping if it's hard to get in there?
There's a guard
gate. It'd be very difficult to get caught slipping.
Right outside the gate.
If there's a guard gate, it's hard to get caught slipping.
Yeah, no, there's a guard gate. No.
These are good
conversations. They stop me every time, too. They ought to know me right now, but they still stop me. Jay, what's your business here, sir? Believe it or not, I'm going to play golf here today.
What's your business here? What do you think my business is?
My business is about golf, pal. That's what my business is.
I would love it if Stephen A. Excuse me, I'd like to know if John Granato is here today playing golf. What business do you have? I'm getting ready to catch him slipping. Okay. And then you get caught slipping. That happens.
JG going to get caught slipping at that Brotox hair plug spot. It's two different places, Jackie. Okay, Brotox hair plug. Two different doc. Okay, Amy. Okay, and Doc Linville, two different places.
So we've got some info coming in here. The number two.
I can easily catch LZ slipping, thanks to the curb.
Yeah. The curb. Sometimes the curb does catch me slipping. Or my ladder caught me slipping whenever I was trying to put it on top of a bush, thinking, this is enough stability. How dumb was that? The number 222 is often associated with balance, stability, and harmony, which also are the things I look for in an offensive lineman during pass sets. So the repeated appearance of this number may indicate that you are being encouraged to focus on these qualities in your life.
Megan Thee Stallion, thank you.
That's from Jay Dale. Said, so that's information that you just learned. Also in the movie Gone Girl, Ben Affleck's character was walking through an airport in disguise, and the director wanted him to wear a Yankees hat. Ben refused and wore a Mets hat instead. Shout out, Ben.
Ben, yeah.
Shout out, Ben. That's how it has to be.
Have your principles and stick to them.
How about a shout out to my son's school, Newport Elementary, for at least finishing in the top four of Reed to the Final Four. The kids are excited to ride in style to the Final Four.
Nice job, Dad, except you didn't put your kid's name in there.
Little Baby Feimster.
Feimster. Yeah, it's
Let's just call him. You know what?
So you just want to be famous and you don't want your kid's name in there.
What do you I've got a name for him. I've got a name for him. I want to see if you come up with the same name I've got.
Okay, Nathan.
I was going Dylan.
Dylan, okay. Feimster, what's your boy's name?
You think it's Nathan Feimster, I say Dylan Feimster. Yeah. And they're riding to the Final Four in style.
Dylan is probably.
At a boy.
Either that or Jedediah, one of those.
No one's named Jedediah.
Jedediah is a great name for the kids, okay? Jed, you don't want to call your kid Jed? Yeah, that's happening. 809 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 713-780-3776. Ooh, look, ESPN's doing a should the Patriots trade for Lamar Jackson? They're doing a
150 days in a row of Lamar Jackson.
Straight days. 150 straight days of what should we talk? What angle can we get on this Lamar Jackson or Aaron Rodgers? And can we combine Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, what impact does Lamar Jackson's availability have on the Aaron Rodgers deal? Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Keith makes a really good point. Yesterday, last night, you were at Clay, which is the club here, and they pump out bangers and bottle service, and and you're sober because it's Lent.
Yeah.
Right? John sober as a house cat at Clay Nightclub watching opening day baseball is not what I had on the bingo card.
Well, first of all, opening day baseball was over. We didn't go to Clay until like 11:30 or so stupid.
Sober going out at 11:30.
And you should have seen the traffic jam around the place at 11:30 at night. It's like ridiculous. I'm like, oh my God.
There's two things that get crowded. Kids start getting crowded at that time. The spot and food places. Food trucks and Whataburgers.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well,
that Whataburger there off of Shepherd, forget about it. It's constantly packed.
At midnight.
Oh.
And 1 a.m.
Constantly.
Yeah. No. That's when they do their best business. All right. When we come back, we'll talk a little tournament. The Chevron Championship Tournament. That's what we're going to talk about next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Speaking of champions, what about Champion Energy? If you're looking for the best way to get the electricity to your home, listen, I've been with them for 15-plus years now. Love Champion Energy. I ain't going nowhere because my bill has been – I've saved tens and tens of thousands of dollars over the years because of Champion Energy. There are electricity companies that are going to gouge you seriously, and that ain't going to be the case at Champion Energy. You're looking for the best way to get that electricity to your house, one place to go. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, 713-780-3776. Jerry Harvey Samuel is the tournament director for the Chevron Championship, which is coming our way next month right here in the city, well, in the Woodlands, in the Houston area. And it'll be here for the first time. It was the Dinosaur, then the Nabisco, now it's the Chevron Championship. And the tournament director, Harvey Samuel, is joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jerry, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi. Morning, guys. How's it going?
Morning. Oh, my gosh. You sound like you're from Lubbock. Where are you from?
I'm actually from the UK. I'm a bit complicated. I'm half American, half English, but I grew up in Australia, so I've got a little bit of an Australian twang to my accent.
Ah, nice. We're big Jim Jefferies fans here. So just so you know, Australia brings us a lot of things. They we're big fans. So, tournament challenges coming to a new city now, Jerry. You've been, obviously, we love the Nicholas course here at Carlton Woods. It's a beautiful facility and wonderful. We can't wait to host it. But what are the challenges of a new golf course with such a big event coming here?
Yeah, you know, there's always challenges when you move to a new golf course. I mean, and a new city, really. I mean, we were in Rancho Mirage with this event, Chevron Championship, for 51 years, and it's sort of the 52nd year is now in the Woodlands, Texas, in our new home. And you know, it's never an easy decision moving an event of this scale after all those years. But, you know, when we were looking around at courses to host, Carlton Woods stood out as being such a phenomenal venue just in terms of its infrastructure, its facilities, the quality of the golf course, the beautiful clubhouse. And the Woodlands and Houston stood out as a city that just has so much to offer and so much to give. And there are so many great things to talk about the Woodlands, the infrastructure, the public transport, the way the community has opened its arms to us being here and as an extension of that Houston as well. There's a lot of challenges that we have to undertake, public car parks, the way we get spectators in, obviously starting a new in a new market with a new marketing plan and building some of our own brand equity in the market. But it's where we need to be. The size of the market is where a size of this event needs to be. And so we're tremendously excited.
Yeah. I'm a fanatic for this golf course. And it's tough enough. The Nicklaus course at Carlton Woods is a challenge. I don't care how good a golfer you are. How are you going to set it up? Tell us about, you know, the rough, the distance. What are we looking for? Are we looking for, you know, the ladies to dominate, you know, low scores, or are we looking for that challenge that we're going to be somewhere around par?
You know, one of the great things about the LPGA is that these ladies are so good that quite often, no matter how hard you set up the golf course, they're so good that they can take it apart piece by piece on their day. Look, it's definitely, as you said, the Nicklaus course is a challenging course. There's no doubt about that. Its length is probably the one thing that sets it apart from other courses that we've done events at before. I know Steve Salzman, the general manager, and the team at Carlton Woods have been working closely with the LPGA to make sure that they set it up as a real true test for that's fitting of a major championship. That includes growing the rough out. That includes playing it a little bit longer than maybe it was played before. Of course, the ladies on the tour have had a number of years to figure out Rancho Mirage and Mission Hills there, and now they're at Carlton Woods. I think it's going to be really exciting to see how they react to the new golf course, the new layouts, the new finishing holes. It's going to be incredibly exciting. I think that the environment and the atmosphere could play a part as well. Obviously Houston, Texas is a little bit different, from the desert. So it'll be interesting to see how they deal with that as well.
You know,
I used to do an event in Singapore with all that humidity, so I'm kind of used to it.
Right.
So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, April, probably it's going to be beautiful. Actually, hopefully it's going to be just perfect. We've had a lot of tournaments. We've got the Insperity. We always had the Shell Houston Open in April. So I think you guys, I hope this is a great time of the year. So hopefully it won't be all that humid for them. We're talking with Jerry Harvey Samuel right here on ESPN 97.5. He's the tournament director for the Chevron Championship. Jerry, you mentioned it. I don't think guys realize how good these girls are, good these ladies are. They are, and it's more like Stacey Lewis, who was your 2011 champion at the Nabisco and won that event. She was on last week, as a matter of fact. She wasn't on here, but she was on last week, and she said it's more like the guys' game. But like amateurs play, the PGA Tour, those guys are just bombing. That's not the kind of game we play. This is more like we can relate more to the women's game.
Really, 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 really good amateurs.
Right. But as far as length goes and club selection, this is more like we play.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And there's no better way if you're starting golf and you want to get into the game and you're looking at swing tips and you're looking at swings to sort of base your game on, there's no better role models than looking at the LPGA, because the way that the LPGA professionals are able to eke out every single bit of yardage and efficiency from their golf swing is absolutely amazing. And it is more reflective of how the amateur plays. But on the flip side, you know, it's something to aspire to in terms of the accuracy and just the sheer skill around the greens and the putting. It's phenomenal to watch. And, you know, it's such a different thing to see in real life as well. It just doesn't really do it justice when you're watching it on television. But when you're standing behind some of these pros and watching them just absolutely lace it down the middle of the fairway every single time, it's really, really cool to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, guys, if your daughters or even your sons, doesn't matter, if they're under 17 and you buy a ticket, your juniors 17 and under, I guess you're really trying to grow the game here. Juniors 17 and under are free of charge with an adult. That's neat.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is part of Chevron's commitment to growing the game in a lot of ways as well. I mean, Chevron obviously have a very strong presence in Houston, but part of their partnership with this event is not just on the golf course, it's off the golf course too. It's to grow the game. It's to, you know, work on community engagements, work on building some of that equity in the community and funneling some some fundraising and some charitable initiatives back into there as well, which is really important and kind of sets this event different, sets their title sponsorship aside from other title sponsorships a little bit more, you know. And part of that extension of that is the juniors into the event for free.
Absolutely. And oh, by the way, a girls' golf clinic at the practice range is going to be available. Girls' golf behind the scenes tour also available. I tell guys, you know, you have to have a level of athleticism to play college basketball or volleyball or whatever. I mean, not that golf is more skill. I put a golf club in your girl's hand early because there's scholarship money out there. And if you want your girls to learn something and actually get a behind the scenes look at what these ladies on the LPGA tour are doing and role models, you've got all of this available to young girls. So that's going to be neat too.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's pretty rare to see a really successful pro on the LPGA these days who didn't get a golf club in their hands when they were kind of single digits, you know, when they were 5, 6, 7 years old. And when you're at that age, it's easy to be, the important thing is to be inspired by the next generation of players. And so we've got the Girls Golf Clinic happening during the event week, which is great. We've got St. Luke's Health who are helping us create a behind-the-scenes tour for some of these girls golf participants as well, so they can kind of see and experience the behind the scenes of a major championship. You know, a lot of work goes into it, and people see, it's like an iceberg, people see everything above the water, but there's a huge amount that goes on below the water as well, so that's great also. And it's, you know, on top of that, Chevron are going to be running a Junior Legacy Pro-Am midweek, which gives some of the participants from Girls Golf the ability to play with some of the legends, you know, the Amy Alcott, who I know was speaking earlier on the show, you know, throughout the week. So it's about inspiring that next generation.
Good stuff. They're going to put on a show. I expect nothing less out of the people. You're dealing with the Nicklaus people, the Carlton Woods people, and they're just all fantastic. Love what they do at Carlton Woods. And it's going to be here for 5 years, all right? It's a six-year commitment. Last year, Chevron put its name on it, and now it's going to be here in the Woodlands for the next 5 years. So this is just the start. That is Jerry Harvey Samuel, and we're looking forward to it. We will be out there live for the first couple of rounds. We're really looking forward. Thanks for the partnership, Jerry, and we're looking forward to seeing you out here in the Woodlands.
Absolutely. Looking forward to seeing you guys as well.
All right, Jerry. There's Jerry Harvey Samuel right here, tournament director for the Chevron right here, the Chevron Championship on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And you want to bet on it? Yeah, you want to bet on it? Of course you want to bet on it. Well, all you got to do is get to my bookie. Look, the tournament is on this weekend. What a weekend. You can bet on all of these baseball games, right? Did you bet the White Sox last night? I told you to bet the Astros. I'm sorry. But you know what? Sometimes you're going to have some winners. You're going to have some losers. That's going to happen. Bet responsibly. But here's the deal is when you go to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975, all you got to do is your first deposit, you are going to get a 50% bonus. A 50% bonus on whatever deposit that is, your initial deposit. So if you put in $2,000, you're going to get an extra $1,000 to play with. You put in $50, you're going to get an extra $25 to play with. Up to $1,000, your bonus is going. They're going to match their 50%. Up to $2,000, actually, $1,000 is your bonus. But you got this. You got PGA. You got NHL, XFL, MLS. You got it all at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. You want to do player prop bets for this weekend? You got it. Individual player points, rebounds, assists, and three-pointers. If you know your college hoops, you'll really enjoy player props. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. You got your 50% match right now. Go to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Golf Course Chevrolet, Witt, and GMC.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Bob Huggins is going to join us in a half hour right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're scared. I'm not scared.
I'm not scared.
Everybody that knows Bob Huggins loves Bob Huggins.
I'm not scared.
We had him on about 12 years ago.
I have it in my phone. Should we play it for Huggins?
When John, what was his name?
John Hadley.
Wanted him to hug.
We didn't think Huggins was going to call in. He had played an overtime game, a road game. They flew back in. He must got in at 3-something in the morning.
And he's up with us at 8.
Up at 8. He called in, and we've got John Hadley on. And then Hadley starts asking him questions about uncomfortable.
He had lost the night before, and John Hadley kept going, "Hey, it's going to be all right. Hey, love yourself. You're such a great guy. Why you go so hard on yourself?" That kind of thing. And it was like, oh my. I got up and left the room. I got up and left the studio.
It was like nervous. A Larry David shit.
Yeah,
like,
I was so embarrassed. And I was like, I can't do this. I was scared to talk to Bob Huggins before the interview. And when John Hadley was doing
it. He had supposedly knocked out. What was it? He had, like, God, threatened to knock out Kenyon Martin or knocked out a horse. I think I'm getting him and Roberto Duran confused. But Bob Huggins had something where, like, there were stories. I think Nick Van Exel told us a story about Huggins was ready to fight. Like, no one wanted to. I remember Nick Van Exel telling us nobody wanted to mess with Bob Huggins.
No.
Nobody.
Well, but he also said how much they loved, the whole team loved Bob Huggins.
Well, a lot of times that's like Ed Orgeron, too.
Yeah.
The team loved Ed Orgeron. Ed Orgeron would fight you if he needed to. Yeah. Ed Orgeron took his shirt off and challenge anyone to come fight him if they wanted to at Ole Miss his first day, and nobody wanted to fight Ed Orgeron. And then started jumping up and just said, "We're a bunch of wild boys," and he's throwing chairs, and they all take their shirts off, wild boys," and then they got rocked in the SEC, and it didn't work.
It did work 1 year, 2019. All that stuff worked for.
Well, not for Ed Orgeron.
Yeah.
He was way gone from 2019. I'm talking about Ole Miss.
When he took over to Ole Miss, not LSU. LSU.
At Ole Miss is where he did the Wild Boys.
That didn't work out at all. But things worked out at Cincinnati for Bob Huggins. But it just seemed like, oh my gosh. Yeah, because he was, they loved him. See, this is like Kelvin Sampson, too. The guys love him, and yet he's so tough on him, you know?
Yeah, but from the outside.
We don't know.
Like, we act like, look, yes, do we have a, now, I think the generation now, when he played, he had some dogs on those Cincinnati teams, and players were
Kenyon Martin and
there's a lot more mentally tough stuff going on back then. Now, you know, we know it's not as prevalent, but there's still some mentally tough guys in basketball.
Look at a guy who's as tough a disciplinarian as Kelvin Sampson is, and look at the results he's getting.
Yeah, I think. I mean, there's still players out there.
Kids today can't be coached.
No, there's still out there guys out there ready and willing to be coached. And Huggins, I would imagine. Maybe he's backed off the pedal on some stuff, but he is who he is as a coach. Like, and you know what? Correcting people, different parents have different ways of correcting kids. Like, some people are the soft, you know, redirection, and some parents are going to be.
Like, your wife is the soft redirection, and you are the heavy-handed disciplinarians.
Neither one of us are soft redirectors in the manner that I'm thinking of. I wish I was. A little
bit
more.
Like Steven Silas. You're like, your wife's like the Steven Silas of.
Jeff Van Gundy?
Van Gundy?
Tom Thibodeau?
You think?
No, she's more like Brian Daboll. You ever seen Daboll on the sideline?
Daboll. He's.
You ever seen him on the sideline?
When things don't go well, he's lighting it up.
Uh-huh.
Brian Daboll lights him up.
Oh, yeah.
His coaching staff especially.
Oh, yeah. He gets after it. He'll go over to the bench and have some words with you if he needs to.
Yeah.
If he thinks that you're not doing something, especially if some special teams guy was false started on a, you know, on a fake field goal or fake punt. No one fakes a field. Does anyone fake field goals anymore? Was the last time you saw a fake field goal? I've never see that anymore.
No, nobody does that.
No one fakes field goals.
The last one to do it was LSU.
Well, that's the last one you remember. Les, threw it over
Les
the head.
Miles. Yeah.
Surely there's been one since then.
But no, that was it.
It just seems like it always ends with a kick. You know why? Because if it involves a kicker at all, you're worried about getting your kicker killed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't have a kicker anymore.
Well, no, you can't do that anymore. I think he's here already. Maybe we're going to have Bob Huggins here on the station early. I think they're at the station already. Well,
he's a coach.
We'll have to figure out how to bring him up. Are the doors open yet? I don't know. I don't know if the doors open yet. Are they?
Well, you have to have access. We'll get him in.
Yeah, so.
RJ, if you want to go look for him, we'll make sure no one says anything ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in the parking lot, so we'll
get them up here. We'll get them up here in the next segment, as a matter of fact. So,
next segment.
We'll have or maybe RJ, run down. Why don't you open the door for them, Chase? He's going to come down and open the door, the front door there for you guys, and they'll be here for the next segment. We'll hold off until you come back. So RJ's going to come down and get you guys. Bob Huggins, he's just a Hall of Famer, inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame last year. Going to be joining us here in just a minute.
Is it true, by the way, the rumors that the women's tickets are going for substantially more than men's?
That is, I think this is a first ever. But Caitlin Clark, South Carolina, LSU is going to drive up a ticket.
Right.
Right. I don't know if Virginia Tech is going to do that. But this Final Four here with 70,000, don't forget, it's 70,000 versus 17,000.
Right.
So that's a big reason why the women's game. But I don't care if it's a 17 or a 4,000 seat arena. The women's ticket being a tougher ticket than the men's ticket is a first ever, and it's a testament to. And you know what? That ESPN, and they promoted it, and ESPN has done a nice job, and they're marketing it, and they put some dollars into it. But I think certainly Caitlin Clark is changing the game. And so is South Carolina.
Well, how do you think she's changing the game?
I think she's
the best in the
game. Well, I mean, we've heard multiple, and basketball people, not me, Jay Williams saying Caitlin Clark is the face or is
I agree the brand, with that. I don't
is
know
the brand of college basketball.
Right. I agree with that. Is she changing the game? I don't know if she's changing the game.
Well, she's changing the game for women.
In what way?
It made it hugely popular.
Yeah, I think it's been more popular than you think. It's just not in.
Well,
it doesn't get in your space.
The numbers have not proved it. The numbers this year are phenomenal for the women's game.
It's elevating it. I guess it's elevated it. I haven't seen all the numbers
changing.
Per se.
It's severely elevated.
You know, there's a lot of men who do get into women's basketball.
Yeah,
it's actually grown a lot more. I've really noticed this. There's a lot of men who, you know, RJ keeps up with women's Final Four stuff.
Does he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard him talking about it out there with somebody with, I think, an intern. And they were talking a lot about the women's game. There's a lot of guys who really do follow the women's game.
And it's not just Caitlin Clark. This Angel Reese, I think she's fifth in all of college basketball, men and women, as far as NIL money. Angel Reese is.
Yeah.
I mean, so... The women's game has taken a big step this year. This year it's taken a big step, and it's a testament to the ticket prices is a testament to this, and the ratings that the women are getting. And it'll be interesting to see how they rate. Actually, it's tonight and Sunday.
Yeah.
So the men are Saturday and Monday, and tonight. And I'm interested to see South Carolina against Caitlin Clark.
Sure.
I mean, no offense, Iowa.
Don Staley is going to be game planning for Caitlin Clark. Yeah. I'm going to look right now. I'm just going to use StubHub as an example because Simple Seats don't do these national, they do more local stuff. So NCAA Final Four tickets. If I go to NCAA Final Four tickets at NRG Stadium.
They're low. They're down to like $100 tickets are down to $42 apparently.
Let's see. The lowest I can find, how many tickets? I'll do two tickets. Continue. $49. And that
which
includes,
is below yeah. which is below face.
That's, you know, you're up there high.
Yeah.
Your nose. I'm just going by the lowest.
Yeah, the lower ones.
$49, your nosebleed. Down on the floor in the end zone. It is my goodness. It's $179.
That's nothing.
It used to be way more.
Yeah.
Florida Atlantic, San Diego State, that's in the end zone and then sideline. Between the 20s is 1,100. It's 1,140. So it's still very expensive there. But are they moving? I don't know. I guarantee
that's what they're asking.
I guarantee they're going to come down.
Right.
I guarantee they're going to come down. And now let me see if I can find the women's.
Here's the women's 2,000 sessions one through one. The lowest you can find is $299.
Where is it being played?
It's being played in Dallas, American Airlines.
Okay, so there's less seats.
There's fewer seats.
Yeah. They're in an NBA stadium. Yeah. That makes some sense.
Yeah.
That makes some sense. There's 60,000 seats here. There's going to be 20,000 seats.
17, there. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes some sense.
That makes sense. But, no, even still, I don't care what venue they were playing in before. The men's ticket was going to be a tougher ticket.
Well, and that's in large part because of the teams that are there.
That's exactly right. No, exactly right. In the teams that are in Dallas and the teams that are here.
Is there juice around the Final Four? We just don't know it because are we just in a little bit of a bubble? Like
apparently not very that much with the ticket prices.
Yeah. Is there?
But we knew that this was going to happen when your Florida Atlantic is here. San Diego State is here. They're not. If it was Texas, Alabama, Kansas, it would be a ticket.
Even just Texas and Alabama or Houston and Alabama. Yeah. And UConn. UConn's you know, kind of blue bloody. Like, they've been around a long time. They've been successful. They've had their runs for a long time. Even UConn, I don't know what the travel stuff is going to look like, but I mean, hey, they were winning a national championship here the last time they played.
No, absolutely.
I'm sure the fans are pumped UConn's because they're back in history. Houston and another chance to win a national championship.
That basketball, I mean, women and men. Well, UConn's got a great tradition. All right, when we come back, Bob Huggins, Hall of Famer, going to join us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, it's the Morley Law Firm. Make the call, Morley Law. If you're looking for a way to get out of whatever issue that you're in, if you're looking for a way that if somebody is suing you, if you are suing someone else, if you have to sue someone else, if you have an issue with a doctor, if you have an issue with an insurance company, if you have an issue in an accident, if you're not getting paid, the Morley Law Firm is here for you. And all you got to do is make the call Morley Law, 713-839-9955. They'll give you a free consultation on whatever issue that you're having, and they'll tell you whether or not they can help you. And if they can help you, they're going to give you the attention, they're going to give you the time, they're going to give you the expertise, they've got the experience. They do. It doesn't matter what the issue is. It seems like the Morley Law Firm has been there, done that. And that's what you want. You want experience, someone who's been there and knows what to do. When you've got an immigration problem, not every law firm is dealing with immigration problems. So they're going to know who to go to help you out in this instance. No, the Morley Law Firm does because they're there. They're in the middle of it. They're doing it every single day. And you say, habla español. If you've got somebody that's got an immigration problem, if you're getting a divorce, you're having custody problems, whatever it is, the Morley Law Firm is here for you. Make the call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955 or morleylaw.com.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Found the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance with Hall of Famer Bob Huggins in studio with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, thanks for getting up, man. We appreciate that.
I've been up since 6, brother.
You've been up since, well, man. That makes one of us.
We know he's an early riser because we've got history with you, Coach.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be.
No.
You just can't sleep?
I just can't sleep.
Yeah. Well, you got a lot of work to do. We don't. We have to get
you
up.
You had played, we were doing a radio show, and it was on from at the time, it was 7 to 11. This is probably back in about 2002. And 2001, 2002, you just lost an overtime game on the road to, like, NC Charlotte or Central Florida. You flew back. We were supposed to have you on, but then, like I said, it went to overtime. You lost, and we're like, there's no way Coach Huggins is going to call. You called in the next – you couldn't have had 4 hours of sleep, and you call in like clockwork. Now, we were nervous. You had a little reputation back then at Cincinnati. We were a little bit nervous about our interview with you at the time. We were a little bit nervous. And then after you had just lost and you had no sleep –
yeah.
We were
for whatever
concerned.
Reason, we thought you had like a Saban vibe, like you were going to be really tough on us or whatever. But
no,
you
no,
weren't.
You no, were
nice.
You weren't.
That was surprising.
I mean, I'm nice to nice people. I mean, some of those guys at Cincinnati, I threatened to strangle.
But we used to have Nick Van Exel in here quite a bit, and he told us.
Nick's the best.
He likes you.
Yeah, he loves you.
But he said that the players knew up front that it was, you know, there was going to be confrontation. If they wanted confrontation, there would be confrontation.
Right.
That's fair.
That is fair.
By the way, I want to follow up real quick. That's something Kelvin Sampson told us. We asked Kelvin Sampson, you know, the Rockets are trying to change culture here from a professional basketball standpoint, the Texans professional football. And Kelvin Sampson's had a lot of success at University of Houston. And it's weird to us to see a guy coach hard and get guys to play hard in this day and age. Like, he still coaches them hard. They still play hard. And we ask him, what's it like to, you know, how do you change culture? He said the number one thing is you cannot be afraid of confrontation. He said you cannot be afraid of confrontation if you want to create a culture. It's just something you cannot hide from.
Well, I've known Kelvin for a long time. Kelvin and I go way back, and he's always been a heck of a coach, and his guys have always played really, really hard. So,
was that? Do you believe in that too? Like, how did you create? How did you create culture where you are now, where you were previously at UC? Like, how is it for you from a culture standpoint? Did you ever think about it, or were you just you?
I was just me.
So it wasn't a plan or anything.
I'm not that smart.
Yeah. Is it different with today's player than it was, let's say, in 2000?
Yeah.
Well, what do you have to do differently with this player?
I don't do anything different, but it's they don't react to it as well as what the guys before did. You know, I mean, I had you think about the guys that I had, Danny Fortson, Kenyon Martin, those guys. I mean,
tough guys.
They were really tough guys, and it got to the point where they policed everything for me. I didn't have to do anything.
Really. You know, Jeff Van Gundy talks about that too with his Knick teams that back in the day that you know there was policing going, there was serious policing going on with had a tough team. Kenyon Martin, I can't help but think about how you lost that number one seed because of Kenyon's injury.
Broke
was that fair?
Leg. Yeah, no, it wasn't fair.
That's not fair, is it?
No, it wasn't fair. It wasn't fair, and I mean he broke his leg, and I felt so bad. I'm trying to coach, you know, the rest of the game, the rest of the guys, and he kept pulling on my – I actually wore a sport coat occasionally, and he was pulling on my sport coat, and he kept handing me water. And he's sitting there because he wanted to do something, you know. He wanted to be part of things, you know. And I tell you one, that Ken and I are still very, very close, and he is one of the great people of all time.
Yeah.
Have you seen his son play?
His son can really play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so athletic around the basket. Holy cow.
But he has an impact on the game.
Yeah.
He's not just filling up stat sheets. Like, he has impact. He makes impact plays. There's just certain guys. I don't know, Coach. It feels like you can – there's always certain guys that you look at the stat sheet after a game, you're like, oh, okay. And then there's other guys that you recognize the impact they have on games. And I don't know if there's something that you see from a basketball character standpoint with those guys, but it becomes obvious there are just certain guys that you feel in the game a little bit more.
I can remember playing Charlotte. You brought up Charlotte. Bobby Lutz was coach, and Bobby wouldn't let his guys shoot inside the three because Kenyon was going to block it. So he said, you're not allowed. Don't go in there. He said, if you come inside the three, I'm taking you out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Just stand out there and shoot.
Just stand out
How'd
there
How'd that work
and shoot?
Out for him?
Not well. Not well.
Not ideal. Of course, that's where a lot of the game has gone, basketball. But not, you know, it is strange to see. It's almost like, you know, for years it was always college football was a different sport than pro football because it was so wide open. But it's almost a reverse where we still see legitimate post play. We still see guys with back-to-the-basket game. Maybe not as developed as we used to see back when, you know, players stuck around 3 years and 4 years. But we do still see some post play, and we're going to see that when Miami takes on UConn in one of those Final Four games. There's still guys who play in the post, and you guys still seek them out, at least some teams do, and still look to establish a guy in the low post.
Well, UConn's got some guys that, you know, if you stand behind them, you get lost.
Yeah.
They can't find you. I mean, they've got a couple guys that are really big, and not just big, but wide. Mm-hmm. And they take up a lot of room.
So, Coach, why are the higher seeds or lower, so however you want to look at it, why are the teams that weren't expected, there's no, you know, top three seeds in this thing. Is there a change coming to college basketball, or is this just an aberration?
I've watched Florida Atlantic from almost the beginning, and I was amazed at how fast they get to the ball. You know, the Purdue game, Purdue's got, you know, the biggest guy in college basketball, and they really couldn't get him the ball. But every time the ball bounced, they had it. You know, they were so quick to the ball, and then they made shots. You know, our game really is about making shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do all that other stuff, you know, and talk about this and talk about that, but the reality is if you don't make shots, you don't win.
No, but the thought is with the money, you know, the Kentuckys, the Kansases, all the big name, the Blue Bloods, North Carolinas, and Dukes, they've got all the money, so they're going to get all the players. And yet, look at this Final Four. It's smaller teams, smaller programs. Also. Yeah, right. So is it just going to be about NIL money, or is it going to be, like you said, like look at these teams that are here.
It's a lot about NIL money.
It is.
It will continue to be.
But how does that sit with you?
I don't know. I'd have liked to got paid when I played.
Yeah.
No. Nobody said, "Hey, Bob, here's some money." Right. Never happened.
It's not like that's never happened. A college basketball player getting paid.
I was trying to steal socks out of the equipment room. You know.
Well. College players have been getting paid a little bit, you know those programs that we're doing that, Coach. Now it's out in the
open. Does that happen?
Did it happen once or twice, as I understand it. But now it's out in the open, and now the kids can make some money. You know, everybody's been making money off of it. Are you opposed to NIL, or what do you think of it?
I'm opposed to getting held up.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, everything ought to be. Yeah, it's like you got a job, they pay you this amount of money. You can't hold them up for three times as much.
Right.
And there's a little bit of that going on now. Don't think there's not. So, I mean, I think if everybody went about it in a business way and not try to hold people up, then I wouldn't have a problem with it. But holding people up, I think, is going too far.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's happening out there. It's crazy. It's a crazy world out there. If only the NCAA had actually, you know, done something and set some guidelines. It's the Wild West out there, isn't it?
No, they did. They screwed everything up.
Yeah.
Yeah. They, you know, the whole deal, you know, the whole deal. We go from where you couldn't hardly do anything to do whatever you want. You know.
Thanks, Mark Emmert. That's great.
Yeah,
and what do you expect to happen when there's no guidelines and there's nothing that you're going to have? And you can't blame the universities for trying their hard. I mean, this is a competitive business, and it's never been more competitive than right now. Fans have less boosters, they have less patience now in every sport than they ever have. And so the pressure on coaches is just – I know it's always been immense, but does it feel like there's more pressure now? Maybe it changes from where you're – you know, if you're at this school and this school, but – I talk to a lot of coaches, and I can't tell you they're super happy with their lives all the time. I mean, it can be a miserable profession at times.
I don't know about miserable, but I mean it's hard sometimes, you know. But I think we all put pressure on ourselves. I don't feel pressure from the outside. I feel pressure to do the best job that I can do and give our guys the best opportunity that they can get.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't have anything to do with that people on the outside.
You're a Hall of Famer,
not
though.
To me.
You're a Hall of Famer, though. So, I mean,
I've been that way. But I've been that way my whole life.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been where, you know, let's get these guys better. You know, let's give these guys a chance to do and be what it is they want to do and be. You know, nobody recruited Kenyon Martin but me.
How did he slip through the cracks like that?
Well, I tried to kind of hide him as much as I could.
Was he real thin? Did he grow into his frame?
Yeah, he was thin. He was thin. I saw him. I was at an AAU deal, and I went down to the seventh gym. You know, it was just old, and he's playing against at that time the number one player in the country, and he blocked everything. So I just hung around till it was over with. I said, "Where are y'all staying?" And he told me the hotel he was staying. I went and sat, in the lobby. Just about the whole night, because the AAU guy didn't want to bring him in because he didn't want me to talk to him, because he was trying to, you know,
maneuver him.
He was trying to maneuver him, and so I just sat there and waited until about 2 a.m. or whatever. I said, "Hey, come over here, little fella. Let me sit down and talk a little bit." And then got a great relationship with him, a great relationship with the family, and I mean, he's my guy.
Yeah,
he's he's a special guy.
That was a good team. That was a great team that you had there in Cincinnati. And Bob Huggins is with us here in studio on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here we got just the start. So, Bob Huggins, don't you go anywhere. We're talking college basketball with Hall of Famer Bob Huggins. Taking a quick one. We'll be right back.
Loaded, ready, rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.